Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be here. I hope I greeted most of you when you came in. Some of you, it's exciting to see you again because it's been a long time since we were in Hamilton. God is amazing, truly amazing. Yes, by divine appointment, I met the Frews, and as a result, I said to them, well, do you think Hamilton would be interested in us coming? And they said, yes, you should contact them. So I did, and here we are. God truly is wonderful. Let's just pray, will we? Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, that we're just your hands and your feet to bring your love. Lord, pour your love through us. Pour your presence through us. Open our eyes. Give us a revelation of your love, a revelation of your glory. Lord, we're hungry. We're desperate. We just want more of you. And Lord, we know we're here today by divine appointment. You're here today by divine appointment. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Just open our ears to hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. God truly is amazing. I had 5 weeks in Asia in January through February. I did 10 conferences in 5 weeks, and I'm getting younger. Did you notice? Every year I do more, and every year I'm getting younger, because that's what it's about. Stop confessing you're getting older. Stop not agreeing with the Word of God. Start recognizing that you're getting younger, that you're in God's plan, that you're in God's purpose. I want to ask you today, how many of you dream dreams? How many of you dream dreams? Right, I'm not just talking about dreaming when you go to sleep. That's terribly important. I'm talking about dreaming with the eyes of faith, dreaming with the eyes of imagination, dreaming so that God does amazing things. Nearly 30 years ago, I dreamt a dream here in Hamilton, New Zealand. I was in Armed and Dangerous with Winky Prattney and Trevor Yaxley, and I dreamt a dream. When they said, do the crazy thing, I thought, wow, can I? And then they said, whatever God speaks to you about, do it. And that night, God spoke to me about going to Myanmar. And it was truly amazing because I just did it. A few weeks later, I told Kevin, I plucked up the courage. We were driving to the beach at the time. And I said, God spoke to me at Armed and Dangerous. And he said, oh. And I said, he told me to go to Myanmar, but I can't, you know. And he said, why not? And because he encouraged me, because he released me, because he empowered me, I went to Myanmar. And later that year, he said to me, go to the four corners of the earth. And I looked at the map of the world. I dreamt a dream. I began to lay hands on the map of the world. And I dreamt a dream that I would go to Russia, that I would go to the Middle East, that I would minister throughout New Zealand, that I would go to Cuba. And at that time, 30 years ago, Cuba was extremely restricted. But I dreamt a dream. And I laid hands on that map every day. You see, most of you have forgotten to dream. You've forgotten to move in to the realm of imagination. You've forgotten to move in to that realm where God does the impossible. But I dreamt a dream. And it was truly amazing because Kevin released me into that dream. And then I woke one morning at 4 a.m. and I had a lump in my breast. I knew in every part of my body that I had a lump. I went to the specialists. They said, somebody was looking after you. No, you could not have found the lump. It was the size of a pea. I had breast cancer. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And every day the devil came. And every day he said, you'll die. Every day he said, you'll never have another birthday. You'll never have another Christmas. But I dreamt a dream. I declared the word of God. I stood on the word of God. I said, in the name of Jesus, I will go to Cuba. In the name of Jesus, I will go to the four corners of the earth. In the name of Jesus, I dreamt a dream. I declared and decreed, because in Job 22:28, it says, you shall decide, declare and decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways. I dreamt a dream that God would do amazing things. I went to the senior pastor one day, and we met him when we were flying out of the Cook Islands a couple of years ago after I had a double knee replacement. And and we met this pastor, and it was amazing because we were sitting in the business class lounge, and he said to us, I tell your story everywhere I go. And I said, well, what do you tell them? What do you tell? And he said, you came to my office one day and you said, God has called me to an international miracle ministry. And he said, I had the power to release you or to shut you down. And in that moment, God spoke and told me that it was him. And he said, I knew it was God and I released you. And I said, well, it was God. You know, it's so amazing. You see, I dreamt a dream. That dream is to achieve the impossible. You see, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith takes our creative imagination. If your imagination's been shut down, stir it up. Stir it up. Because you need to release your imagination to move into active believing faith. And all of us are to be a people of faith. I dreamt a dream. God's so amazing. I dreamt a dream of miracles, signs and wonders. And I've seen them over the years. Just incredible stuff. I was in Bagdogrit. And we did a conference there. We do conferences across the Himalayan region. We've been doing them now for 20 years. This year I just finished number 10. So, you know, that was pretty amazing. We used to groan when we did six. But the two of us, an 80-year-old woman and me getting younger, we did 10. Imagine that. 10. And I'm not talking about one day where you teach for a couple of hours. I'm talking about 2 and 3 day conferences with hundreds of people. The last conference we did for pastors and leaders. The first day we had 500. The second day we had 800. You see, we're to be transformers. We're not to be conformers. You and I are to live Romans 12:1-2. You and I are to recognize that we are not to conform to the culture. We are to bring transformation. Doesn't matter what culture it is, whether it's Myanmar culture or whether it's American culture or whether it's New Zealand culture. If it doesn't line up with the kingdom, then we need to bring change. We are not to accept what the culture dictates. We've sat back, we've been apathetic, we have been pathetic. Jellyfish Christians. That's the truth. And we need to wake up and recognize that we are to be transformers. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to bring transformation. And that's what we do out there. We just love people and Jesus comes. We just hug them and Jesus comes. We just kiss them. I've never kissed so many people in my whole life as I have the last 5 years. I just hug them and Jesus comes. And it's so wonderful. I dreamt a dream of the love of God being poured out and we just love them. And Jesus touches them. And you know they go to heaven. It's so amazing. They don't die. They go to heaven. There are angels in this place today. I stood at the back and I just had a vision of angels. And the glory of God is in this place today. God wants to pour out His glory in this place today. He comes to the hungry. Do you know, for 20 years we have seen people going to heaven in our meetings. For 20 years we have seen people receiving flowers from Jesus in heaven. Totally wonderful stuff. Just blows your mind. You see, in 1 Corinthians 2, it says the natural mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit. But the reality is that we don't have natural minds, that we are heavenly beings. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, when you were born again, you became a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You became a total new creation. You became a heavenly being. When you were born again, your spirit man was lodged with Christ in God. And Ephesians 2:6 says, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're not an ordinary person. You're not an ordinary Christian. None of us are ordinary. When Jesus Christ comes to live in our lives and we become a new creation. So wake up. Stop saying I'm ordinary. Stop saying I'm tired. Stop saying I'm getting older. Stop saying all this rubbish. Start declaring the word of God. Start saying, I'm a daughter of the King. I'm a son of the King. I'm getting younger. I'm doing more. God is moving. Start confessing what the Word of God says. I was praying about the meeting, and I was thinking, well, Lord, you know, if there's anybody here today with chronic sickness, a sore arm, a sore wrist, a problem with their wrist, well, you know, you should come at the end and we'll pray for you. There's somebody here today who's been bugged by fear, by worry, okay? Now, if that's you, if you've got fear in your life, then fear doesn't come from heaven. Fear comes from the devil. So we want to pray for you at the end, because we won't have altar call now, we'll do it later, okay? Otherwise we have chaos. There's somebody who's limping. Now, I'm not just talking about physically. There's somebody who's limping in the realm of the spirit. Somebody who's limping because in their walk with the Lord. Now, if that's you, we need to pray for you. I had a picture of a... And when I was in Hamilton a few weeks ago, I had a similar picture, and it was of a crushed tulip. Something in your life has crushed you. Now, the tulip is a very delicate flower, and it's a very pretty flower, and something has crushed it. So there's been a delicate area in your life that's been crushed. So if that's you, we need to pray for you at the end. And I was just praying last night and this morning, and I just had this word. Now, this could apply to the church or it could apply to somebody. So I'll just give this before I go on and forget. There have been some grey days, some difficult times, but the Lord wants you to know that this is a new day, a day of revelation, a day of release, a day of recognition. In fact, it goes beyond recognition. This is a day of renewing, of refreshing, of moving into your true identity, where you are no longer the tail. This is a day of recognition of who you are in Christ, that you are the head and not the tail. This is the time to move beyond looking back. Move beyond focus on the old. Look to me, says the Lord. I bring hope. I bring a future. I bring new vision. There are some here who have no vision. They're going round in circles. Now, Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, we're perishing. But without a vision, we are going round in circles. Now, you know what happens when you go round in circles. You go round and round and round and round and round and round and round, and you are going nowhere, nowhere. It's like stepping on a rotting log. You are going nowhere. Okay, there are some here who are going nowhere, who've settled for the status quo, who've settled for life in the ordinary, who've settled for just being like everybody else around them. Wake up! This is a day of new vision, of new purpose, of new things. Dare to dream again. Dare to invite my purpose. Dare to invite my plan. Dare to believe my word for the impossible. God is the God of the impossible. If you can do it, it's possible. But when it's impossible, you need all God's strength to do it. And that's what God's calling us into. The realm of impossible. Wake up. In Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, write the vision. Write the vision. I wrote the vision. I declared and decreed. I laid hands on the map of the world. I wrote the vision. I laid hands on the map. I laid hands all over the map. I put pins in that map. And I declared and decreed that I would go to Russia, that I would go to Myanmar, that I would go to Cuba. And yes, I had cancer, and the doctors spoke death, but God spoke life. God spoke life. So for 2 years I fought the devil. But for 8 months after my surgery, I had a frozen shoulder. I could not lift my arm. It was my right arm. I was a teacher and a nurse. I had to write on the blackboard regularly, right, and so on. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. But, you know, every day I lay on the floor and I said, in the name of Jesus, my arm will be free. In the name of Jesus, I will go to Cuba. In the name of Jesus, I will go to the four corners of the earth. And God enabled me, and my arm was set free. It was totally frozen. I could not do my hair. I could not do up my bra. My shoulder was totally finished. But God, you see, our God is amazing. He's totally wonderful. There's a little writing by Heidi Baker that I was reading. When you tell the Lord you will go with him wherever he goes, he takes you at his word. When you devote your life to the pursuit of his presence at the cost of everything else, even family and friends, he will lead you into an adventure beyond your wildest imaginings. When you go where he goes, you position yourself in line for glory. We dreamt a dream. We dreamt a dream of people going to heaven. And back in the year 2000 in Myanmar, we were in a Bible school with 100 young people and 40 orphan children on a little wee platform, the children were. We were going to pray for them all, and the Spirit of God moved on them, and they were all gone. They were crying for 2 hours, wailing. You could not do anything. When God comes, you abandon your program. You know, that's the truth. God doesn't come in many churches because they're not willing to abandon their program. They want their programs. And they cry out for the fire of God, but they have no comprehension of what happens when the fire comes. Because when the fire comes, everybody gets blasted. And they really do. The fire comes. And then you're never the same again. Well, these children, they were gone for 2 hours, and there were 100 young people rolling in the dirt. They were conservative Christians, and they were all touched by the Lord and baptized in the Spirit and so on. And the next morning, we discovered that all the whole lot had gone to heaven. They'd seen Jesus. And after those kids had cried for 2 hours, they began to laugh as joy filled and flooded their lives. You see, when the glory comes, we thought we'd seen everything, to be quite frank. We did. We thought it could never be as great or as wonderful as what we saw in that year 2020 years ago. The following year, we were at the border, And there we had a whole lot of children go to heaven. They saw amazing things. Every one of them saw something different. The following year, and so it went on. Every year, people going to heaven. Every year, it's people seeing Jesus. Heaven was coming down. But we thought we were opening a portal in these places. You know, we were in the highest points of the world. We were opening a portal between heaven and earth. But last year, I met a man from New Zealand, a man called Jason Cobb, who's here right now in the country. And he... Heaven has come on earth in his compound. He's been a missionary for 15 years, and every day his kids go in and out of heaven. Do you want to see heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to see the angels? Do you want to see that house in heaven? You don't have to wait till you die for any of it. It's so amazing. People in our meetings, they get their house in heaven, and they see it, and then they don't want to come back. So wonderful. We had a young woman who was kneeling down in front of me, and she was hugging somebody. She was kissing somebody. It was so beautiful. The glory of God was all over her. And we discovered that she was in heaven. She was with Jesus. He was hugging her. He was kissing her. He was showing her the glories of heaven. And then he took her to a garden with flowers. And he gave her flowers from heaven. Do you want to receive flowers from heaven? You can. It's so beautiful. And he gave her those flowers. And when she woke up, because she was acting it out in front of me, it was so amazing. I'll never forget it. And then when she woke up, the interpreter said to me, she's been in heaven. She got flowers from heaven. Get her to give away the flowers. Now, I didn't listen to my logic and reason, because my logic and reason would have said, how can you do that? That's impossible. How can she do what she's done in heaven? Anyway, I didn't listen to that. I listened to the Holy Spirit. And there, this young woman, we stood her up. She couldn't stand. She was so weak. She was blasted, really, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we got her up off the floor, and we held her, and we said to the people, come forward, and she'll touch you, and she'll pray for you. And she was an ordinary village woman who didn't pray for people, but God. And the people came, they were shaking, falling down. The glory of God came, and it was just incredible. I was in Cuba. An 8-year-old child sat on the edge of the platform in a little house church, a very restricted, persecuted area. And this child, 8 years of age, began to prophesy, began to preach, began to declare that she was there with Jesus. She was there, Jesus was with her, the glory of God was all over her, and she began to call the people to repent, to worship, to get out and reach the lost, that Jesus was weeping. And so we've seen the glory come everywhere we go. It's so amazing, so wonderful, because we dreamt a dream. We declared and decreed. We laid hands on the map. We spoke the word by faith. And I want to challenge you today. Dreaming a dream is not just for me. You can dream dreams. Don't settle for the New Zealand dream for older people. That you are just to sit back with your feet in your lazy boy, enjoy your kids, live like a senior citizen. Don't listen to what even the churches are saying, that you're no use to God. It's incredible. Asia is the place that honors older people. Later this year, I'm taking my sister, who's older than me, to Myanmar. Isn't that awesome? She's going back to Myanmar for the first time in years. And I'm taking an 80-year-old woman to Myanmar when I go in August. God is so amazing. We've got to dream again. Stop listening to what the TV says, to what the news says, to what the radio says. Start listening to the voice of God. God is amazing. You know, I work in difficult places. I work in restricted nations where it's really difficult. India now is the 10th most persecuted nation in the world. Worse than Saudi Arabia. Worse than Nigeria. It's the 10th worst. And we are working there, and we're there by divine favor. We are there by God's favour. Other people get expelled for doing what I do, but I have the favour of God. I was in Cuba, and the senior pastor sent me off to a house church. House churches are very dangerous because the spies come, and they don't usually send foreigners to house churches because of the risks, because you get expelled. And so they sent me off to a house church in downtown Guantanamo. And the windows were open. We preached and ministered for 3 or 4 hours. And crowds of people came. Crowds of people walked by the street. And, you know, and God was there. The senior pastor came back from visiting the capital of the area, 3 hours away. And he said, oh, he said, last night some foreigners came. And I said, oh, yeah. And he said, yes, he said. And they went to a house church and down in the city. And immigration came. And immigration said, if you continue to do what you're doing, we will expel you. And I said, well, what about me? Oh, he said, you don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. We have favour. And that's the truth. 28 years I've been going to Cuba and I have favour. Other people are expelled for doing what I do. I stay in private homes. In churches. I preach in churches. I drive in private cars. Foreigners are not allowed to do any of those things, but God. God is faithful. When we dare to dream a dream, then he comes through. He does amazing things. He wants to do super abundantly, beyond what you could imagine, beyond what you could ask, beyond what you could ever think. You've seen nothing yet. Nothing yet. The fire of God fell in Sikkim. I'm going to show you some videos in a minute, but I'm getting there. The fire of God fell in Sikkim. It took us all by surprise. That was the only year we were all sick. We all had the diarrhea, and it was very ugly. We picked it up in the south, and we went to the north, and we were up there in Sikkim, and we're in the service, and the fire of God fell, and we were stunned. Stunned. There were people on the floor screaming and yelling. So be careful when you ask for the fire of God, because that's the reality. They were screaming, they were yelling. There were women in their Punjabis with their legs in the air kicking and screaming. There were children lying on the floor screaming as the Spirit of God touched them. There were people repenting of sins they'd committed that nobody in the church knew anything about. The following year we went back, I showed some of the video to people and they said, oh, is it demons? And I said, no, it's God. You see, that's the issue. People don't know what they're seeing. We've learnt over the years to leave people alone. When God touches them, just let God be God. Let him do what he wants. And if it's demons, well, we'll deal with the demons. But if it's God, let's not interrupt what God's doing. But if it's major demonic, we get them out. We get them out of the meeting, because the devil loves center stage. He loves to be at the center of everything. So when there's a great move of God, you'll get demonic activity in a big way. So you get them out, because the moment you focus on the devil, you lose the glory. And we've got to start to recognize the principles of the glory. We've learned in the nations that as we've dreamt dreams, that God's glory comes in waves. In waves, right? So you come, most people don't want that, because you see, they come up the front and they get their fix, they fall down and they go home happy. They've had their touch from God. They don't understand that if they'll only stay, that if you'll only press in for another wave of glory, the glory will come in another wave and another wave and another wave. And we've got to press in for the glory. We've got to reach out for God to do more. We've got to get hungry. We've got to forget that 12 o'clock is lunchtime. You know, it's just disgusting. You know, even in churches that own their own buildings, 12 o'clock is lunchtime, and people switch off and they begin to leave. Get real, folks. If you want to be hungry, if you want to be thirsty, if you want to be desperate for God, stay and allow God to be God and touch you and change you. God is so amazing. I read a little story about Mother Teresa. You've all heard about her. You all know who she was. An amazing woman of faith and vision. An amazing woman of God. I've been to her site in Calcutta, and it was just special. It was special. And you know, this reporter asked her one day, how can you bear to touch the people who are dying on the street? How can you bear to even hug them? How can you bear to look in their eyes when they're covered in maggots and filth and their own filth and they're dying on the street? And she said, when I look in their eyes, I see the eyes of Jesus, the Jesus I love. And that's what it's like. We're just Jesus' hands and his feet to bring his love. I dreamt a dream of a sewing project. This pastor came to us. He came to us for a couple of years, and then we went to his church in the south. He had an ordinary church, just 300 people, and it was very ordinary, no move of the Holy Spirit, and he came hungry. He took the teaching back. As a result of him coming, eventually we went to his church. On the night I preached, two women were beaten up on the street outside. Within weeks of me coming, the pastor went to prison for a week on trumped-up charges. A few months later, they opened the door of the house in the middle of the night to an urgent call, and some thugs burst in and beat his son to death. His son was taken to hospital. God restored him. He was resurrected. He was totally healed. And God spoke to him. And that pastor has continued in relationship with us. His church has grown from 300 to 3,000. He's now got 150 churches under him. And that pastor came one day and he said, "Sister, we have a problem." And I said, "What is it?" Because he's got all these people and they're fisher folk and they're low caste. And he said, "We have 100 widows in our churches." Now, if you know the plight of women in India, it's really grim. Women are just chattels. They're thrown down wells, they're burnt to death, they pour kerosene on them if they don't want them, and they kill them. And they kill the children too. And it's very tragic. And radical Hinduism is rising in that nation. So there's a return to some of those terrible practices. And well, the reality was that he had 100 widows. And he said, these widows only have two choices: working in the gravel pit or being trafficked, selling their bodies in order to survive. Because in the old days, the widow was taken with the dead husband and put on the funeral pyre and burnt to death alive. But legally, they're not supposed to do that, but they are still doing it in some areas. I got an email from a friend I work with, and it was a little video, and it showed a young woman. She must have been about 18. She'd gone to a Christian prayer meeting the night before, and the Hindus in the village took her out on the street and burnt her to death. I could not watch the video. It was so bad. It was so terrible. They threw kerosene over this young girl and she was burnt to death. That's what's happening today. And we're there by God's divine favour. We are there. So we have to do something for the women, because it's not enough to go and bring the glory. It's not enough to see miracles, signs and wonders. And I was going to tell you about Bagdogra, and I said sidetracked before. So let me just go back to Bagdogra and then go on with the widows. Okay, I was in Bagdogra and we did this incredible conference. And there was this man in the conference. We didn't know what was wrong. He was like the man in Mark 5 in the Gadarenes. The man who was totally demon-possessed. He came to our conference, unable to speak. He ripped his body every day with stones because of the pain in his body. He was totally demonized. He came to our conference. He was totally healed. He was totally delivered, and we couldn't stop him talking. He talked and talked and talked. He was so excited. You see, that's the God I serve, the God of miracles, the God of signs, the God of wonders. Okay, so going back now to the women. The women in Kakinada. Yes, 100 widows. So I said to the pastor, well, what are we going to do? What have you got in your hand? Because if you don't use what's in your hand, you lose it. Did you hear that? If you don't use what's in your hand, you lose it. Some of you, God's spoken to you again and again and again, and you've not done it. And if you don't use it, you lose it. That's the truth. You've got to start using and doing the things God speaks to you about. And so he said, well, I was a tailor. And I said, wonderful. What about sewing machines? And he said, yes, he said, these women need a sewing project. He said, my wife was a tailor too. My wife will run the sewing project. And I said, well, let's ask her first. Don't just donate your wife, because that's the way, you know, he says it and she does it. But it's not the Western way, quite the same. And so the reality is, he asked his wife and we started a sewing project. So every year we have women, young women, graduate in our sewing program. And that's awesome. We give them a sewing machine, we give them a sari, and then they can be, to a degree, self-supporting, not having to offer their bodies, not having to work in the gravel pit, but they can have honour and dignity and they can sew with their sewing machine. So we started that. And then we had this amazing thing. We asked them, well, how many kids have these women got? 400 children between them. 400 children. A lot of them not going to school. And what do? I mean, we can't just go and bring the glory. We've got to be transformers. We've got to bring transformation to the culture, to the way people live, to the things they do. The Bible is not just about the glory. It's about being practical and loving people. And we're Jesus' hands and his feet. And so we started a children's initiative, an educational initiative. We started this initiative with 20 computers. We believed God, and within a month or 2 months, we'd received $10,000 that we could buy the computers and set it up. We've set up a children's initiative where 40 children come every day. They get fed before they do their class. They learn English. Low-caste fisher folk kids never get access to computers. They don't get any opportunity to learn anything on computers or to learn English. And praise God, we started the class and we've got 40 kids learning. And they're so vibrant, they're so alive, they're so happy. And the schools have been excited at the change in the kids. And even the local government has come and applauded them for what they're doing. So we just praise God for what he's doing. God's wonderful, isn't he? You see, it all happens because we dreamt a dream. I dreamt a dream of children knowing their true identity. And so every year I take crowns for the children in these children's homes. And the crowns are red, gold, blue, green. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. And anyway, it's so awesome because when I just got these ordinary cardboard crowns that were shiny and just cardboard, and I took them, suddenly I realized that red was for the blood of Jesus. Gold was to be a carrier of the glory. Green was to grow to be like Jesus. Blue was for the Holy Spirit. And purple was for royalty. And these kids that we put the crowns on their heads every year because we want them to know their true identity. Because most Christians today have no understanding of their true identity. They have no understanding that they are seated with Christ in heavenly places, that they're a heavenly being, that they can do the works that Jesus did in greater works. You don't have to wait. You've got the faith of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 2:20 it says that you were crucified with Christ, you died with Christ, you were raised with Christ, you ascended with Christ, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You don't have to wait to be seated with Christ. You don't have to wait to see heaven. You don't have to wait to see the glory. You are already seated. You are already a heavenly being. Last year I met this amazing man, Jason, and it changed my life forever, really. It was like sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jason's kids, I told you before, go to heaven every day. They go in and out of heaven every day. They've moved all around the country now, and some of them have grown up and they're married and they've got jobs, and they meet each other in heaven at night. And it's so wonderful. And one little girl, she goes to the gate every day to buy the vegetables. Now, she's been doing this for 8 years, so she's grown up a bit. And in that 8 years, every day she's gone to the gate to buy the vegetables. She doesn't go to the local shop. The local shop comes to you. And they walk by the street and they shout potatoes, tomatoes, beans, anything they're selling. And the child goes. Now she puts her hand in her pocket every day and she brings out the exact sum of money that vendor needs for her to buy the vegetables. But the amazing thing is that she never has any money in her pocket, ever. For 8 years, God has put the money in that child's pocket. 8 years, that child's been putting her hand in her pocket and bringing out the money. Isn't God amazing? The same child needed some dresses. And they took her to the market, but they didn't find anything because this kid's a heavenly kid. She doesn't have much idea of earthly stuff. She goes to heaven every day. But she went to the wardrobe when they came back, and she opened the wardrobe, and there was an amazing dress, the most beautiful dress she'd ever seen in her whole life. Jesus had put it there. But it had a problem. There were no sleeves on the dress. Now, Asian people always wear sleeves. And she looked at the dress and she was so sad. First she was happy, then she was sad. And she said, "But the dress is no good, it's got no sleeves." That night she went up to heaven and she said to the Lord, "Lord, thank you for the dress. It's so beautiful. I've never seen a dress as beautiful." And then she said, "But Lord, it's got no sleeves." And the Lord said, "Just wait. Just wait. It's coming." She went back home, she went to bed, and the next morning she opens the wardrobe, and guess what? There is the dress with the most beautiful sleeves. She's so excited. You see, that's God. He's just wonderful. He's just fantastic. A man came in the midst of the severe persecution into their compound, and he came to do some repairs on the roof of the building, and he brought a great big stick. It was a long stick. Now, as he walked into the compound, the long stick touched the 240-volt power line, and he was electrocuted. He was instantly dead. His hands were burnt off. His feet were burnt off. He was dead. Jason and his wife were wailing, crying, saying, "Oh God, oh God, it's going to be in the papers. It's going to be on the news. Radical Hindu dies on Christian's property. It's going to be terrible." This was not long after the severe persecution. And they were really desperately crying. And the kids came, and the kids all laid hands on the man, and they all prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And about 15 minutes, 20 minutes went by, and they're still praying, and the ambulance comes, and the ambulance puts up an IV, and the man comes back to life, and they take him to hospital, and they discharge him within an hour with hands and feet intact. Totally healed, electrocuted, but totally restored by the love and power of Jesus Christ. Because where are his hands and his feet? They had a land tortoise in the property. And the land tortoise didn't go in the water, but one of the new children came, and he put the tortoise in the water. Well, the tortoise died. It just died. So Jason's sitting beside the pond, crying, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, heal the tortoise." Well, for 45 minutes he's praying over this tortoise and nothing's happening. And one of the heavenly kids comes along and he says, "Dad, what's wrong?" And Jason says, "Look, the land tortoise is dead. It's dead. One of the new children put it in the pond." And the child reached out his hand and the tortoise was alive. You see, heaven has come to earth in that compound. Heaven is coming to earth in our meetings. Heaven is touching earth. I used to think it was a portal we'd open, but it's not. It's heaven touching earth. It's heaven touching earth. You see, when Jesus came, he didn't just come and do great miracles. We could read and say, "Great miracles. Oh, wonderful chapter in this book. Oh, amazing." No, when Jesus did the miracles, he showed us what wasn't in heaven. There were no deaf people in heaven, and he brought heaven to earth. So, when Jesus was in a place where there were deaf people, they got healed. There were no lepers in heaven, and so Jesus brought heaven to earth. The lepers got healed. There were no dead people in heaven, so Jesus brought heaven to earth. The dead were healed. They were raised from the dead. There were no sick people in heaven, because there's no sick people in heaven. In the Lord's Prayer, think about what it says. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. We are supposed to be bringing heaven to earth. Come on, wake up. You're not a dull old, boring old Christian. You're not. Somebody who goes to church on that strange church on Sunday, you know, you're not one of them. You are to bring heaven to earth wherever you are. You are to change the atmosphere wherever you live. You are to change the atmosphere in the mall, in the supermarket, in the gas station. Everywhere you go, you are to change the atmosphere. In 1 John 4:17, it says, "As he is, so are we in the world." Not as he was. Come on. He's died and gone to heaven, if it was. But it's as he is in you and me. We have to start dreaming dreams.